Chapter 26. The False Flesh. Nehepkau faced the mouth of the gorge. Corpses littered the ground. A few of the orcs had survived, but the vizier dispatched any who stirred close by as he walked calmly through the carnage. The device was ahead. He could detect it. It was crude, but it would serve. He would make it serve. To wake them. To save them. A wall of rubble from where one side of the gorge had collapsed impeded his path. From within his robes he brandished a small amulet. A half-turn of the compass-like device, and the rubble fragmented as the rigours of rapidly accelerated entropy transformed it into dust. Without the lich spire to augment its power, this was about all he could accomplish. Nehepkau passed through the cloud, unblinking, not breathing. He did not even feel the abrasion of gritty particulate against his exposed skin. Like everything on Aegon, his form was simulacra, an idea of flesh. In truth, he longed for it, as so many of his kind did. Not so much that his mind had broken, like some of his less fortunate kin, but enough that wearing this false flesh was a form of torture for him. He bore it. It had been convenient, in its way. The Homo sapiens had accepted him, as a stranger from a far-off land, a native of their world. It had fit the narrative Nehepkau had provided. Reduce any society to a more primitive state, and they will more readily believe what is fed to them by a more advanced mind. First creating and then maintaining this illusion had required a combination of hyper-advanced chronomatic manipulation on a vast scale and subtle mental alteration. The natives had to believe their culture was a primitive one. The Orcoid had presented a problem. Native to the world, they, like the imperial colonizers, had been reduced to a feral state, but had mistaken the device for some monument to their deities. They had congregated around it, to worship in great numbers, far greater than Nehepkau could overcome alone. He had no army as such, not one that would be effective against such feral brutes. Here, his plan had momentarily stalled. When reduced to their baser states, technologically speaking, the Homo sapiens had a distinct disadvantage against the orcs. As their numbers dwindled and the orcs increased, the humans became prey and spent their military strength, such as it was, in a few short months. Extinction had been imminent, and Nehepkau had been considering how he might present himself as some form of prophet to the orcs, when a ship had fallen from the sky and everything had changed. At first, he had observed the newcomers, as he had done in the beginning when the colonists had first arrived. They had brought ships in abundance, so many that they darkened the sun. The air grew clogged with their fumes, and as the humans disgorged, they hurried back and forth like diligent ants. Larger vessels brought structures, walls and the shells of domiciles, prefabricated and then machined together. It was noisy and ugly. Towering drilling rigs were erected, along with processors and silos. The ships departed, leaving the colonists to their fate. They had weapons, soldiers, workers. A nascent society had begun to coalesce. Its deterioration was slow. Machines they had relied upon ceased to function. Their smaller parts rusted and beyond repair. Their signalling equipment broke down, strangely dysfunctional to the point where they simply stopped using it. No help would reach them. Metals started to corrode. Weapons stopped working. It was around this time that the Orcoid happened upon the settlement. Skirmishes at first, fended off with enough force. But the orcs came back with greater numbers. Larger battles took place. By now, several years had passed, and the humans had taken to quarrying stone and forging swords. They had horses already, and bred more. A societal shift had begun, brought about by a sudden and inexplicable regression of materials and crucial scientific knowledge. The further the humans regressed, the stronger the orcs became. The balance tipped. All of this Nehepkau observed as he manipulated time itself. the world had already been a long-forgotten backwater. It was harsh and unforgiving, a wild place that would give way to the rise of his people. Except they would not rise, could not. Something had gone wrong. Nehepkau had realized it the instant of waking. They had slept too long. Only a jolt of considerable raw power could end the eon's sleep. And so Nehepkau's path led him to this moment. None of what came before mattered now. He had reached the device, an atomic fusion core. A swarm of lesser constructs, canoptic scarabs, had already colonized it at Nehepkau's unspoken imperative, stripping back the outer casing and spinning glistening monofilament wires that would carry the energy reserve and redistribute it to the revivification node buried half a mile beneath the surface. A jolt of considerable raw power. Scurrying down the flanks of the device, the scarabs reached the earth and began to burrow, dragging the wires with them like arachnids pulling on gossamer threads. A sound rippled the air, far off but closing. They were coming. Nehepkau looked off into the distance at the fallen lich spire and lamented its destruction. The chronomantic effects would slowly unravel. It would not matter. It was too late to prevent what came next. He had worked too hard to see it fail. His was a lesser dynasty, but he would see it rise again. The sleepers would wake.